Today, how much market power do the Big Four hold? Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The Productivity Commission report into competition in the Australian financial system looks specifically at the role and function of the Big Four banks. And today we look at some of the evidence they presented in the light of the Greens' recently released policy on breaking up the banks. And by the way, if you value the content we produce, please do consider joining our Patreon program, where you can support our ability to continue to make great content. Here is the link, and it's also in the comments below. Whilst the market dominance of the Big Four, Westpac, CBA, NAB and ANZ, does not necessarily in itself mean the market is not competitive, the Productivity Commission suggests that such dominance may allow them to stifle competition by maintaining prices at artificially high levels or limiting innovation without losing any market share. In many banking systems globally, they say, larger institutions have more market power, and Australia is no exception. Their sheer size allows the major banks to spread their fixed costs, such as investments in new IT systems, across a broader asset base. They are also able to grow more quickly, as they have greater capacity to respond to an increase in demand. At the same time, size can create challenges. For example, changes are more difficult to implement in very large systems. There is a tipping point, they say, beyond which large organizations are no longer efficient and they operate at declining returns of scale. The clearest and most powerful advantage that the largest banks have over small ADIs, and one that gives them substantial market power, is their ability to raise funds at lower costs. Larger banks have better credit ratings, and as a result, investors and depositors are willing to lend them funds at lower rates. In part, these credit ratings can reflect the ability of larger banks to hold more diversified lending portfolios. However, these ratings also benefit from explicit and implicit government guarantees, such as being considered too big to fail. Their lower costs of funding enables the bigger banks to maintain their profits and offset some of the increases in their costs resulting from, say, regulatory change, which may prove more difficult for smaller institutions. Larger operators also benefit to an extent from integration, which gives them the ability to extend additional control over some markets. Vertical integration allows larger institutions to have more control over the costs of their inputs, while smaller entities rely on third parties to access funding markets and other types of services. In effect, small ADIs compete against the major banks, but also depend on them to access the funds that allow them to continue competing. Cross-product conglomerates, integration gives the larger institutions the opportunity to cross-subsidise some of their products and also offer consumers an integrated bundle of services which may help to lock customers into provider and raise customer switching costs. Despite the consolidation of some smaller players, the major banks still maintain substantial market power because the difference in size between them and the other providers in the market is exceptional. Based on the value of their assets in April 2018, ANZ, the smallest of the majors, was seven times bigger than Macquarie, the next bank by size of assets. 20 banks, ranking 5th to 24th by size of assets, would need to merge in order to create just another ANZ. Only if all banks in Australia other than the Big Four merged would they be able to rival the biggest two, Westpac and CBA. An important aspect of bank size is their geographical reach, either through branches or other distribution networks. In 2017, there were about 5,300 bank branches, over 390 credit union branches and 74 building society branches. The major banks accounted for 60% of all branches, and only two other ADIs, Bendigo and Adelaide Bank and the Bank of Queensland, had branches in every state and territory. Major banks are also strongly represented in other distribution networks, such as mortgage brokers. At the same time, customer satisfaction levels reported by individual banks, including the major banks, remains high. While consumers may be disillusioned with the banking system, it seems they're satisfied with their chosen institutions. Of course, consumers may not always be aware of alternative services and prices available from other institutions or even their own institution that may be more suitable for their circumstances. Australia's major banks have some of the strongest business brands in our economy. Industry estimates put the value of their brands between $6 and $8 billion, with CBA having the highest brand value. Their public image has been affected by a series of scandals and the continued community perception that they do not operate in the customer's best interests. The major banks benefit from the perception that they are safe, stable institutions, and that the government will step in to help them if needed. This supports their existing market power and in some cases increases it further. For example, during the global financial crisis, consumers transferred some of their savings to the major banks as they were perceived as safer. Even when no financial crisis looms, small institutions may find it difficult to attract consumers from rivals that are perceived as safer. This is despite the fact that retail deposits benefit from the same government guarantee, regardless of the ADI size. Consumer behaviour may also contribute to market power. The low levels of customer switching and the general disengagement from financial services helps the ADIs maintain their position in the market and makes it harder for new competitors to gain any significant market share. The major banks benefit from a substantial asset base and stable market shares, and that gives them the ability to cope more easily with regulatory change while also investing and innovating, which in turn can contribute further to their market power. Small institutions argue that their regulatory burden is disproportionately large. For some, the pace and extent of regulatory change has left them limited resources to increase market share. Measures introduced by the Australian government and APRA are intended in part to offset the cost advantages of large banks. Examples include the major bank levy and potentially the significant prudential regulation imposed on domestically significant banks, which applies to the big four banks. It's been argued by the government that when such regulation raises the costs to the major banks, they may help smaller competitors. But as the Productivity Commission says, the objective of competition policy is not to assist some competitors by adding burdens to others, but rather to have the least necessary intervention that is consistent with allowing choice and innovation to meet consumer interest in an efficient manner. Viewed simply, to raise the costs of businesses that have market power while doing nothing to address adverse use of that market power risks seeing those costs imposed on customers. So they conclude that the major banks benefit from advantages of scale, scope, and branding, which give them substantial market power and the ability to remain broadly insulated from competitive threats posed by smaller incumbents or new entrants. They concluded that this balance of power gives the major banks the ability to pass on cost increases and set prices that maintain high levels of profitability without losing market share. While high concentration on its own is not necessarily indicative of market power resulting in inefficient pricing or tacitly collusive behaviour, and the major banks have all argued that vigorous competition in the banking system is evident in a number of market outcomes. Their analysis, in fact, shows that major banks are the dominant force in the market. As a result, they're able to charge higher premiums above their marginal costs compared with other institutions. Approximately half of the loan price that major banks charge is a premium over the marginal cost, double the margin that other Australian-owned banks have. In fact, they say over the past 5 years, changes to prudential regulations have increased the cost of funding for the major banks. However, and as has been anticipated by the regulators, they have been able to recoup these higher costs by increasing interest rates for borrowers. According to the ACCC, the big four banks tend to disregard the pricing decision of smaller lenders. Rather, they focus on the expected reaction of other majors and any changes they may make to interest rates. As a result, each of the banks examined by the ACCC generally aim to set their headline variable rate to broadly align with the big four banks. The major banks view this behaviour as an attempt to compete and maximise their profits, but the end result from a consumer point of view is non-competitive pricing. The lack of price competition is reinforced by obfuscation. The prices that ADIs advertise are often not indicative of what consumers actually pay, as we discussed the other day. So the Productivity concludes that the oligopoly behaviour and the ability to use market power adversely are evident. Indeed, the major banks themselves are unable to identify competitive threats in the domestic market, and they focus on large technology companies overseas as their future potential competitors. Such threats have yet to eventuate, and will in any event need to exist in the regulated environment that consciously limits rivalrous behaviour. Whilst the tail of smaller providers aims primarily to match the major banks in their pricing, they are subject to similar or at times more costly regulation and do not benefit from the funding or efficiency advantages of the major banks, so they are often unable to offer prices that are substantially lower. Some of the smaller banks, in particular foreign institutions, operate in niche markets, such as, for example, agribusiness, where they can potentially benefit from specialisation and set prices that reflect their capacity to price discriminate. Others, such as credit unions and other mutually owned institutions, are consolidating in order to benefit from economies of scale. But in the market for retail banking services, it is the major banks that dominate, and other players follow their lead. So standing back, the big four are dominant, exert structural market power to the detriment of their customers and to the broader society. We are paying through the nose to bolster their profitability. So something needs to change, which takes us to the Greens' announcement. In their statement, the link is below, they said it's time that banks became banks again. Australians are sick and tired of these massive finance institutions getting away with murder because they can throw stacks of money at the two old political parties. Our banks, they say, should be working for us, not against us, and this policy will make sure that happens. So they propose to, quote, break up the banks. Under their proposals, banks will no longer be able to own wealth management businesses that both create financial products and spruik them to unsuspecting customers. Consumers will be able to easily distinguish between the simple and essential products and services that the vast majority of Australians use, like deposits and loans, superannuation and insurance, and the more complex and selective activity that is the domain of big business, the wealthy and the adventurous. By removing hidden conflicts of interest, they say Australians will be able to trust that the advice they're getting from their banker is designed to line their own pockets, not the other way around. And they say the watchdogs have failed, so they would strip ASIC of its responsibility for overseeing consumer protection and competition within the essential services of basic banking, insurance and superannuation, and return them to the ACCC. So tell me what you think. Do you agree that there is a structural problem in banking? And would the Greens' proposals make a difference? Leave a comment below. I'll share my own thoughts in a subsequent post. But as you probably already know, I think that things do need to change. And finally today, Markidari, the next DFA live stream event, will be on Tuesday the 21st of August at 8 p.m. Sydney. I'll be providing some more information shortly about the event. It's already scheduled on the channel if you want to set a reminder. And feel free to send questions in beforehand. If you value the content we produce, please do consider joining our Patreon program, where you can support our ability to continue to make great content. The link is in the comments below. If you like what you've heard here today, please share and like the post and add a comment or question. If you want to join the growing band of subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next time.